What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's Damian Isaac. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. Back with another postgame. The Memphis Grizzlies managed to beat the Toronto Raptors this time, 98-91. Improved 11-10. The first win in Toronto for the Grizzlies since 2013. That is a big stretch there. They could not seem to get it done in Toronto. They got it done tonight behind a massive game. Jaren Jackson Jr., 25 points, 6 rebounds, 5 block shots, 1 assist. Dylan Brooks played well tonight. He didn't shoot the ball that well from the floor, but he knocked down 6 of 6 from the free throw line, had 4 steals and a block. Desmond Bane putting up another 20-point game. Just a great team win from these guys as Ja Morant continues to recover.
Yeah, man, second wire-to-wire win. Beat the Kings wire-to-wire and beat the Toronto Raptors wire-to-wire tonight. Had as much as a 17-point lead. It's just a nice victory. Offensively, and Taylor Jenkins kind of talked about this after the game, didn't play really well offensively. They won this game pretty much on the defensive end. Tremendous plays down the stretch. You had Dylan with the strip. You had a couple blocks by Jaren Jackson Jr. Big plays. Were able to get Pascal Siakam and Precious Achiuwa in foul trouble. Precious actually ended up fouling out. And I think that kind of helped them down the stretch with those guys not being able to be as aggressive defensively. But just a nice win. And 2-0 in both games, complete without Ja. They did have Ja a little bit in the Hawks game. But the first two games without Ja, 2-0. You can't talk about holding the rope. Looks like they're doing more than that right now, man. You got another winnable game coming back on the home floor on Thursday as they take on Oklahoma City Thunder. And you talk about Jared, man. He looked like, and I talked about this before, man, when Ja went out, you wanted Jared to be that guy that kind of stepped up and lead this team and just a tremendous game tonight. I talk about those big plays on the defensive end. I mean, he did it all tonight on both ends, man. 23 points, 25 points, man. 4 of 7 from downtown. He's 5 of 6 on the free throw line. Plus 21, biggest plus minus margin on the team. 5 blocks. I mean, just a tremendous game for him. And games like tonight and what we've seen from him lately, that's why you paid him the money. Because we've seen how much of an impact he can have on both ends of the floor. And when he's playing like this, if he could ever – get this consistently with what Ja's doing. I mean, you have your two guys right there. So I'm really happy for Jaren. And I tweeted this out during the game. I think he has his swag back, man. I think he's playing with confidence. Early in the season, you could tell that confidence wasn't there. But building. And I think kind of with the Ja injury, you don't want to say it's a good thing or a blessing in disguise or anything. But I think this right here is going to be good for him because I think he knows that he needs to be the guy. And he's so far so good, man. He's stepping up to the table.
It kind of ticks me off a little bit because the one thing that I've noticed in these last two games without Ja is the sense of urgency.
Yeah.
These guys know, hey, you know, we don't have our best player. We've got to step it up. Where's this been?
When Ja's playing. Man? Yeah.
You know, how much better would their record have been if they done this when Ja is playing?
Looking up at the standards right now, man, and it feels like this is – been a struggle this season, but you look up and the Grizzlies are in fifth place in the West right now.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, it's crazy, man. And you talk about what their record is a bit. If these guys play like this consistently, we have been seeing this all season, I mean, you'd probably be talking about 2-3 seed right now. I mean, that's what it would be. But it's crazy to look up and see that they're in the fifth spot right now. I mean, that's pretty good to see. I mean, the West is kind of weird, man. You have the three teams at the top, and then after Golden State, Golden State, Phoenix, and Utah is kind of a line, and then have this big group of teams that's all bunched up from five down, four down to 10. I mean, it's not many games separate, like 2 or 3 games, I think, and 4 teams are kind of tied right there. It's going to be a wild finish, man. Nobody's really running away with this thing. Outside of those three teams, man, I think any of these teams can finish anywhere, and you think with Ja being out, the Grizzlies kind of fall back a little bit, but not so fast, man. 2-0, and again, a very winnable game on Thursday night, man. You could be looking at 3-0 without Ja going to that Dallas game this weekend.
Yeah, and that's, you know, they have to stay up for this game against the Thunder because even though the Thunder are tanky.
We saw that last year.
Yeah, you know, the Thunder, they've beat Oklahoma. They are Oklahoma City. They beat the Lakers twice already this year. You know, so they have to go into this game ready to play. They can't let down – you know, that this Raptors team is a team that just beat them, and they're obviously a better team than the Thunder, but the Thunder can still beat you. So I hope that they do come into that game ready. You know, it's just something we'll have to wait and see. I have a feeling because, you know, Ja is still going to be out, I think that they are going to be ready. Did you see anything as far as a timeline on this with Zaire Williams missing time today?
No, they haven't said anything specific. I don't get the feeling that it's anything super serious or anything. I think it might be just one game, couple things, the game thing. They haven't really said anything. You know how they are with injuries. They're kind of weird with the reporting there, but I don't get the sense that it's anything serious. But go back to tonight's game. I think from the onset, I could just – with the way the Grizzlies came out, I just felt like they were going to win this game. Like I never – even in that third quarter where they kind of lost focus a little bit and Toronto went on that big run and closed the gap, I just felt like they came in this game with a sense of urgency. And I think after losing to them on the home floor a couple games ago, I think they came in this one and said, man, we're not going to let these guys beat us again. And they came into the Toronto and really controlled the game. Again, like outside of that run they made in the third quarter, Grizzlies really – control this game. Every time Toronto would make a run, Grizz would come back and punch back. And again, man, got up that double-digit lead in the fourth quarter and kind of held on there, man. But it was, again, man, very, very nice win to go on the road, especially, I mean, anytime without Ja. I mean, when I looked at this week, you had the OKC game coming up on Thursday, and you had what you think two tougher games on the outside with the OKC game sandwiched in between. You got at Toronto tonight and at Dallas on Saturday, and you're thinking, man, if you could find a way to go 2-1 in these games, I think you'd feel fantastic. And that was kind of thinking, well, you get the OKC game, win one of these games on the road. And they've already done that. So now, man, you go home and hopefully beat OKC. That's 2-1. You can go in kind of that Dallas game with house money, man, and looking to go 3-0, which would be insane without your star player because he's meant so much to this team, man, like 25 points a game. It's hard to replace that. And as you talked about, these guys – you kind of wish that this would happen when Ja was there, but you can tell that they've upped their game another level because they feel like they have to. So if they can do it now, do it with Ja. I mean, and if that happens, I think the sky's the limit for this team. I think they could be up there in a 4, 5, 6 seed if that happens.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all, man. Brandon Clark continues to play well. He only played 16 minutes tonight. Got some early foul trouble and then didn't end up picking up another one, but you know, it limited him to 16 minutes, but it's good to see him. We've been talking and I said, I was going to say it on every show. I'm glad that Brandon Clark is back, you know, 3 for 6 from the field tonight. The one thing that I've noticed from him is he's not taking those corner threes, and that's perfectly okay because that's not his game. He, you know, those shots just were not falling for him. These little bunnies. He had an impressive dunk tonight where, you know, he jumped and I knew that he had a chance to dunk it, but he kind of like double clutch. And I'm like, okay, he's just going to lay it in. And then he just yammed it. So
he hammered that thing.
Yeah. So 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and a block from him, you know, +7 on with his minutes on the floor, just continues to play well. And, you know, those numbers are not huge. But you're not looking for huge numbers from Brandon Clark. You're wanting him to go out there, make plays on the defensive end, which he did, and rebound the basketball.
Rebound the basketball, yeah.
Which he did. So, you know, he's doing all,
as well.
Yeah, doing all the things that we want to see him do as Grizzlies fans. And it's, man, it feels so good. And I feel like a broken record. I keep saying that over and over and over again. But after the struggles of last year, it's like, man, was he just – a flash in the pan, the rookie season, you know, it brought up some doubts. And I was on the side of Brandon's probably going to bounce back this year. And he is so far, but you know, you it's always in the back of your mind. You draft a guy and he has one good season. You would like to see him repeat that, but year two was rough for him.
Yeah, man. You talk about those floaters and that patent floater he has, man, for some reason last year, man, he was just struggling, man. Couldn't get those shots to go. He was so efficient, like shooting, I think 60% or something from the field his rookie season and really struggled with those shots last year and didn't start off great this year either. I was right there with you. I was like, man, I think he's too good to be the guy that we saw last year. Maybe he was working through injuries, whatever it was, that he was going to bounce back. And early on in the season, it didn't look like that. It was getting DNP CD still. But it is really good to see him thriving right now because I think he's an important piece for this team, just the energy that he brings off the bench. Like you said, I mean, only 6 points tonight, but just making intangible plays, grabbing five rebounds, playing good defense, of course, adding a block and some rim protection. I just love what he brings because he's unique and he's a different guy than the other guys that on his team. And he's a real valuable weapon when he's playing like he's playing right now, to come in and bring that energy off the bench. And like I said, man, it's really, really good to see because he really, really struggled last year, man. So I'm glad he's having to bounce back and hopefully he can do this consistently.
Yeah. Yep. Going to move on. Santi Aldama was one of the first guys off the bench in this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just going to say it. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with him being one of the first guys off the bench. And you can say, yeah, you know, BC maybe should have been the first guy off of the bench. But we knew that with Zaire being out that somebody else would be, you know, popping in the rotation. You know, Jitty has been in and out of the rotation all year long. And with Ja going down, we figured that Jitty would be back in it. But with Zaire missing time, that gives you somebody else that's going to be in the lineup. And I actually want to see Aldama get minutes like this, because when he's coming in and he's playing garbage time minutes, it's not against rotation guys in the NBA. And so you can't get a good feel of where his game is. And while he struggled tonight, he was 1 for 6 from the field. You couldn't tell it by the box score, but Coach Jenkins had nothing but praises for him after the game.
Yeah.
He said the biggest thing for us heading into this game was being in the right spots. And he was doing that. You know, he had the floater, the one bucket.
Floater, yeah. Made. It was a big one and they needed that bucket too.
And that was, it was a hustle play as well. And that's, you know, Coach Jenkins mentioned he was there on that 50-50 ball and knocked that floater down late. So I cannot wrap my mind around the fact, and I used to, like, it's not just Grizzlies fans, right? Like, you can go, I sat in with Jill from, her and Sam cover the Kings for Sports Ethos, and she done one of those Twitter spots where everybody, you know, like, they're all just kind of getting in and they were venting about the Kings prior to Luke Walton getting fired. And it's not. It's every fan base that just there's so many people that at the drop of a hat are rolling over on this team. And I knew it. I knew when I saw Aldama come in that there were going to be people like, Twitter, the rotation.
Twitter lit up. I'm sure Santi Aldama was like the number one trending on Memphis Twitter when he came in the game. Definitely.
No doubt.
Everybody was talking about Aldama.
You have to develop these kids. They're not going to develop by sitting on the bench. Yeah, they get to, you know, they practice with NBA players. They do film study with NBA players. But you can practice and watch film all day long, and it's different.
Not the same thing. Yeah,
it's so much different.
And I was going to say, especially in meaningful minutes, like you said, when you get in garbage time, that doesn't really give you much development. I mean, it's better than sitting on the bench and not playing at all, but it's not the same thing as getting in the game when it matters. And Coach Jenkins talked about how much he loved his urgency on offense and defense. Like you said, he said kind of scratched the box score just looking at it from a coaching and development perspective. He liked what he saw. He said he's really been working hard in practice, putting the work in, and with Zaire being out, he could pick one guy, and that's the guy he decided to go with. And like you, I love it because I think you have one guy in Zaire that you're developing and you're giving him minutes. And if he's out, man, do the same thing with another guy. Mm-hmm. You use those minutes to keep developing these guys. And I think it's great. And you could see some things with Santi, man. If he can put together the way that he can run the floor, man, he's a good passer, high IQ basketball player. I think they might have something there. And they must have really liked him because they moved up into the first round, gave him a guaranteed contract to take him there at 30. So, again, man, I don't have any problem with it at all. Man, if you have an opportunity to play the guy, he didn't hurt you out there on the floor tonight. So, kudos to this coaching staff. Man, I was glad that they made that move. I know a lot of people still don't understand what's happening here. I argue with people and try to talk to people until I'm blue in the face about the development aspect and what the long-term goals of this organization are. And some people just don't get it. They just won't refuse to understand what's happening here. But again, man, I'm a guy that, again, always says that I kind of lean more toward maximizing, but I understand the long-term goal here. And if you're going to move up and get a guy, take him at 30, man, if you have an opportunity to play him.
Yeah. Yep. 100%, man. That's, you know, some of these the same conversations that we're having this year, we were having last year about rotations. And, you know, it's how many times do we have to hear Klieman and Jenkins say it's about development? That's where they're at. This is rebuild development time. And, you know, it's not just us as, you know, it's not just media saying, oh, well, this is development. This is coming directly from the team. There's video. You can go and find it where Klieman talks about development and Jenkins talks about development. How many times do you have to hear it before you take it as what it is? And, you know, it's just like we get a horse dead and keep kicking it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had someone tell me this morning, like, you media and blog guys, you just drinking the Kool-Aid of the front office. I'm like, they've literally said this over and over and over again. You listen to anything, every time they talk about this, Zach Klieman, Taylor Jenkins, anybody from the organization, when you hear it, they tell you that this is about long-term. And, like, I don't understand how many more times they have to say it before you believe it. Like, people want to sacrifice everything they have right now so they can get the sixth seed this year. And I'm like, even with what's going on now, Ja's out, we struggle everything. They're still right now sitting in the fifth seed. So, I mean, like, get out of here with that, man. You, when 2 or 3 years down the line, when they got that third guy on the team and we got these draft picks and they turn it into something, you're going to be happy about it. So just take it as it comes. I still think this team makes the playoffs this year. And again, man, what did you think the ceiling was? Like, I hate to go back to this. It's my last time mentioning this. I hate to go back to the JV stuff, but even if JV was on this team, like, what's your ceiling? Fifth seed? I mean, it's not like you're not winning the championship this year. So still by losing the first round, even with JV. So I don't get it, man. You look at what the Pelicans are doing. It's not like he's leading them anywhere. So it's craziness, man. If people with the JV stuff, and you DM me this morning, like, you're thinking about Newton JV, man. I feel the same way, because anytime that conversation comes up, man, it's crazy season with a lot of people out here.
It is, man. It's nuts. I'm like, I don't have anything to add to what you just said, because we've talked about it until there's nothing left to say. There's, you know, he's
playing tremendous, and that's great.
NBA player,
yeah.
He's a, you know, I mean, some people may even consider him great. I don't think that he's great. He is a good NBA player, and I said it before. I think that the Grizzlies would have more wins right now if he was on the roster.
Absolutely, season.
But you're a second round exit team at best with
him. At best, yeah.
And, you know, Gosh dang, I hate that we're even having this conversation, man. I hate it. But I was involved in a conversation today with some guys about this, and one guy said that the Grizzlies should have gotten a package like the Magic got for Nikola Vucevic.
I want to bang my head against the wall.
No way. Like, Nikola Vucevic is a 2-time All-Star, 20-10 and 4 assists for the last 5 years. He's significantly better playmaker than JV. Defense is about the same. Rebounding is about the same. But night in and night out scoring, Nikola Vucevic is better. You're not going to get the same package. But here's the thing. JV had a career year last year for the Grizzlies. Best numbers of his career last year for the Grizzlies. If they don't move him for what they got, and he has a fall off like Kyle Anderson has had this year, how much are they going to get then? His value was never going to be higher than what it was when the Grizzlies made that trade. They ended up with a first-round pick swap, a second-round pick swap, and – I mean, they went out and they got the guy that they wanted. And on top of getting the guy that they wanted, they got an additional first round pick that they
could turn into a lottery pick, possibly with what's going on now. I don't think it will, but right now it's heading that way.
I'd say it's probably going to be more like, my guess is in the 20s, you know, maybe late teens, but still. You know, that's another valuable asset that you can use if you're wanting to move up in the draft and you've got a team that needs, you know, Sacramento just changed their coach. What if they decide they're going to go into a full rebuild and you can use those picks to go out and get somebody from them that you want? We don't know what this full trade is going to be. Short term, Did they lose the trade? Short term, yeah. They gave up the best player in that trade. But that trade is not, was not, and will never in its lifetime be just about Steven Adams and
JV. I know, and that's what people try to make it. They're like, well, JV's much better than Steven Adams. Like, it's not, I try to tell people, it's not about that. And another thing, if you had JV on this team, you probably don't have the leap that Josh's taking right now, production-wise. You don't, what Desmond Bane's doing, that's probably not happening. I mean, it was the right move. I'm glad that JV's having a great season. He was one of my favorite players on the team. I love his attitude, what he brought to the locker room. I loved him. But again, man, if I could go back in hindsight, I could know that he was going to do what he did last night, and I still would have made the move. Like, it was the right move for the Grizzlies, for what they're trying to do. You weren't going to re-sign him next year, man. So, I mean, you moved him. You got something for him. He's in New Orleans, man. Can we stop talking about what JV's doing? You can watch him and appreciate it, but stop saying that they should have made the move. That's it, man. I don't know what else to say about it. Just beating a dead horse on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say that that's the last time that we're going to talk about it on the podcast, but I just have a feeling that it's not going to be.
Every time he has a big game, it's going to pop back up. It's already bad enough, but like when I saw he had 7 threes, I was like, here we go, man, about to blow up, and that's exactly what happened. People talking about it all day.
And just like Isaac said, like we don't want you guys that are listening thinking that we're just. Like, both of us are fans of JV. Both of us.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite players on the team. Like, seriously, like, I love the guy.
Like, he is a better player than Steven Adams. We will never not say that. With, like, as far as fit, the Steven Adams thing has not worked out. Sane was talking about it the other day. He's like, it's safe to say at this point that the Steven Adams
trade, I think we're there.
The Steven Adams part of it in and of itself did not work out the way that they had planned. It hasn't, you know, and Steven Adams, you know, he had a pretty good game tonight. He ended up playing 26 minutes, you know, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. He only scored 4 points, but he's making the plays that they need him to make. You just want to see him be better defensively. And that just hasn't happened. So, you know, you get the growth. Some of these post plays that you're seeing from Jaren Jackson, that they're not happening if JV is there. You know, the growth from the guys, like you say, JV's taking 15 to 20 shots a game, and that's going to take shots away from Desmond Bane. You know, I don't mind if Dylan takes a few less shots. I'd like to see him be more efficient. But the guys that you want taking the shots, like Melton and Bane, are not going to get those opportunities if you still have a big man that's demanding that many shots.
Man, and to kind of change subject a little bit, man, what about our guy, former Grizz, Yuta Watanabe, out there trying to have a revenge game tonight, man, out there knocking down threes, 11.6 rebounds, 3 of 8 from downtown, man. He played really well, man. All seriousness, man, I'm glad to see him develop into a viable NBA player, man, because I was always a big fan of his while he was here. It always kind of felt like he could be an NBA rotation player, and I'm glad to kind of see it coming to fruition with Toronto, man. I just want him to chill a little bit tonight, man. Go crazy every other night, man, but not when you're playing the Grizzlies. But again, that was kind of nice to see, man. They got knocking down threes. I was like, where's that when he was here?
Yeah. I think it just boils down to opportunity, right? Like, he just didn't get playing time.
And that's what happens a lot in the NBA. Fit and opportunity is, and I tell people that all the time, that it's, I mean, that means everything. I mean, you can see guys that have come to the Grizzlies, even going back, like guys like Zach Randolph. I mean, he always put up big numbers, but he was super inefficient before he came to the Grizzlies and really turned into a really good player, that scored team player, and had completely changed his image when he came to Memphis. That it's all about fit and opportunity. The right coach, the right situation, and guys can flourish. You've seen guys happen all the time. Guys that don't do anything get traded to a new team, and they look like a different player. So, I mean, and again, I'm really glad to see that for Yuta, because I kind of always felt like, I mean, like, I feel like this guy, this size, he has some shooting potential. I felt like that he could be a viable NBA player, and it looks like that's kind of happening in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm even fine with him doing it against the Grizzlies, man. I'm happy to see him.
As long as the Grizzlies win. If they win, he can score 50 as long as the Grizzlies win the game.
Yeah, for sure. So happy for him. That's not a Grizzly, but, you know, Precious Achiuwa, he had a rough game. But anybody that comes through Memphis in any aspect, whether it's with the Tigers or the Grizzlies, you know, when they leave, that, you know, I don't know that there's anybody that's left that I'm just like, I don't want him to succeed. Like, he can just fall off the face of the earth. I just don't have that mentality, man. I want to see, Watanabe is what, like 26 or 27?
Yeah, something like that.
He's not very old, so he's still got plenty of time that he can have a decent NBA career. And Nick Nurse and those guys up there doing a good job with him, you know, developing and letting him play. Again, you know, getting the opportunity to be on the floor is huge. So, man, I don't really have a ton else on tonight's game. We kind of got sidetracked there with the JV stuff, but – you know, the guys that were needing to step up again, the three guys, the three-headed monster with Jai out, stepped up against the Kings, and then they stepped up again tonight against the Raptors in a closer game.
Yeah, I was going to say, shout out to D'Anthony Melton, man. Only played 17 minutes tonight, but he made the most of it. Didn't shoot the basketball really well, 0-4 from three, but had 9 points, 10 rebounds, man, off the bench for D'Anthony Melton, 2 assists, a steal, 4-13 from the floor, 4-13 from the field, 1-2. From the free throw line, man, but put in some good minutes early in that game. Didn't play a lot in the second half, man, but 10 rebounds off the bench, man, that's big. Do want to run down the team stats real quick before we wrap this up. And Memphis, 36 of 93 for 38.7%. Actually got outshot by Toronto. Toronto, 36 of 91 for 39.6%. Both teams hit 10 threes. Grizzlies, 10 of 34 for 29.4%. Toronto, 10 of 39 for 25.6%. Grizzlies 16-19 from the free throw line for 84.2%. Toronto 9-12 for 75%. So Grizz plus 7 in makes and plus 7 in the tips. Grizzlies again win the battle of the boards 54-44, 18-11 on offensive rebounds. 17 turnovers in the game, 18 for the Grizz, 44 points in the paint. So just a solid game. And it's good to win a game where you don't shoot the basketball well, because that's not something when you kind of look over the Grizzlies' total body of work this season, that's not something that you're going to say about them often, that they won a game while not shooting well, because that's kind of been their MO. If they make a lot of shots, they're in games, they can win games. If they don't make shots, they usually get blown out. And tonight, when they're only shooting 38%, they got a 7-point win. I think that was really nice to see. Took a lot of steps on the defensive end, and that's, again, the area that they need to improve in the most. And the last two games, man, they've done a pretty good job there.
Yeah, 100%. Man, I was trying to pull it up while you were talking there, and I didn't get it done. But I'd be interested to see what the Grizzlies' percentages were in the second half, because I don't feel like they were struggling so much in the first half to put the ball in the basket. But, man, they hit a, you know,
that third quarter, man, they hit a wall, man.
And just couldn't get it to go. And
I was like, man, are they ever going to make a shot? I was like, man, they're going to come back. Toronto's going to end up taking the lead. We've seen this movie before, and in the fourth quarter, they're not going to be able to make a shot. Toronto's going to pull it out in the fourth quarter. But they kind of got back on track there. And next thing you know, you look up, they're up 13 during the fourth quarter. And I felt like at that point, I was like, man, it's, what, 5-6 minutes to go. I feel like they'll be able to hang on. Toronto did make another run. That team never quits. Nick Nurse really has these guys playing hard. That's one thing about the Toronto. We talked about the other night, man. You have to play 48 minutes against this team, because the last two times they played them, Grizzlies had big leads going back to last year, blew that game, and the other night had a big lead at halftime and ended up losing that one. But did not do that tonight, even though Toronto was able to come back, man. They kind of fought back and was able to pull this one out and got a nice road win.
Yep, defensive stops at the end of the game. And then Coach Jenkins mentioned, you know, this is the first game they've won all season shooting under 40%. So big stuff from the Grizzlies tonight. Good win. Again, 11-10 on the season. Good for fifth in the West. They are back Thursday night at the Forum. Probably do a post game on that one. Probably talk about that game on Friday would be my guess. We'll see how things go.
Shout out to my guy Josh Giddey, who's come on as of late, playing really well. See him on Thursday night, and Heinrich Williams with the weird fade or whatever that is. I don't know what you call it, hairstyle that he has, man. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But yeah, take it on the Thunder on Thursday night, and it's a game where they'll be favored. But again, man, you got to come out and play hard. No gimmies in the NBA. They got bit. I think the Thunder beat them a couple times last year, actually. I think the Thunder split those games 2-2. So, I mean, the Grizzlies know full well, man, you got to play well against that Thunder team. I think it was like back-to-back. It was like same week. I think they beat them in Memphis, and then they went to Toronto. I mean, Toronto went to Oklahoma City and lost to them. So, again, man, you got to play. You got to play 48 minutes. You got to play your best basketball, man. You get beat, like you said, that Thunder team's beat the Lakers twice. So, you want to mark that down as a win, but nothing's a given. But you think that's a game that you should handle on your home floor. And hopefully, man, we come back on here. We'll be talking about a nice pregame win streak for the Grizzlies.
I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping. Oh, we'll get out of here. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac, let them know where they can find you, man.
Yeah, man, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC _Rivals. Again, as David said, we'll probably be back for a post game, an Oklahoma City game, probably on Friday. So be on the lookout for that. For David, I'm Isaac Simpson, and we'll talk to you next time. Actually, this has been Sports. Oh, go ahead.
And one more thing, man. I just realized I saw this pop up earlier, but the Grizzlies have a game against the Lakers next week on Thursday.
Yeah.
LeBron James will not be available for that game. So they're missing LeBron in that Lakers
game. Oh, yeah. I forgot because he went in protocol today. You're right.
Yep. Entered the league health and safety protocol. So he will not be eligible to return until after that game. So, you know, maybe that gives them more of an opportunity to win that Lakers game. Still not an easy win. You know, they still got plenty of talent on that team. Russ and AD, Melo, bunch of guys from, you know, if this was 2012, it would be an insane team.
But Dwight Howard is going to go on and on. Carmelo.
Yep. But that good news for the Grizzlies. We'll see how it goes. See where they're standing whenever they get to that game. Got plenty in between now and then. But that's something I wanted to get in here before we get out. And now you can tell them we gone.
Hey, yeah, man. Again, man, it's always a big game when they play the Lakers. So hopefully they have a big crowd out at Fenton Forum, man. That'll be nice to see. But again, when we'll be back for a post game for OKC, either Thursday night or Friday. And we'll talk to you then. Until next time, this is Sports Ethos Grizzlies. We go.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.